Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Glad you joined us on this Tuesday morning. We are down here in downtown St. Louis. We all had a drive to get here, and boy, do we have a story to tell you. Vast differences out there, have to tell you, depending on where you're driving from this morning. And if you haven't been out, let's hear from one, Kimberly St. Ange, who had to drive in this mess today on the way to work for the very first time. What's your take on this, Kim?
Wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. Yeah. I was impressed with some of the areas that looked like they had been completely cleared, but I'm driving on 364 in St. Charles County and was not impressed. And even parts of 270, 64, you're down to one lane. And even that has some snow and maybe packed down ice on it.
So I posted, I mentioned this at the top of the hour, I posted some pictures of my drive-in this morning, the ramp onto 4064 there from 94 in St. Charles County, completely snow-covered. Most of the ramps I saw in St. Louis County, completely snow-covered. The highway was clear for two lanes heading out of St. Charles County. The minute I hit St. Louis County there in Chesterfield, down to one lane. And then I hit the city, and it was three lanes clear all the way to the river. And I can't figure out the difference. I got some people commenting on it this morning that it's probably traffic volume, that they were just overwhelmed. Somebody pointed out it's similar to how the Highway Patrol has different zones. Troop C covers one area, et cetera. They don't have the same trucks driving from St. Louis to Kansas City. My guess is the county line is the edge of a zone. I don't know what the difference is. I do know that the roads in Illinois are considerably better than they are on the Missouri side, just in general, from the pictures I saw yesterday on Fox 2 News. As my friend Rocky Madden used to say, Fox 2 News has reported on this. So we don't know all the answers. If you have an idea, feel free to go on there and post your thoughts on the Facebook page this morning as we carry the show live and stream on all the socials. Wave to Carl Middleman, who's back after his lengthy drive around America. How'd that go, Carl?
2,700 miles.
Wow.
And then we're going to Jefferson City today.
I know we are. And it's for some reason you are off camera here. Oh, we need to fix
that,
Carl.
I didn't mean
to. Come on. There we go. I got
Sorry.
You. I got you.
Well, anyway, thank you, Mark.
I got you back. No
so
problem.
Then another, so I'll, in a week and a half, it'll be 3,000 miles.
Wow. Nice. You're going back?
No. Because we'll do another 300 today and tomorrow.
Yeah, we are. We're going to Jeff City tonight. Carl and I will travel down there for the opening of the legislative session tomorrow. We'll have the show live. Kim will be helping anchor the show back here in St. Louis, and with Ethan running the board. And we're going to have the governor, the lieutenant governor, a secretary of state, all the big wigs, people
Attorney
from
General?
The the Senate and the House talking about what's going on and what their priorities are for the legislative session. So we will get all that done for you tomorrow morning. Right now, though, we got lots to get to, including John Lamping at the bottom of the hour with more on Mike Kehoe's cabinet. I don't think John was particularly surprised at some of the picks. We'll chat up with him about that at the bottom of the hour, but let's start with our top story.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is truly a global realignment of putting the sovereign nation first. And I think we have President Donald Trump to thank for that.
Yep, that's Congresswoman Kat Kamick yesterday there from the great state of Florida. She's talking about Justin Trudeau's resignation up in Canada. Probably that trucker strike might have been what dealt him a fatal blow, but why did it take so long would be my question.
Today was certainly a bittersweet day, and candidly, I'm bitter. I mean, I'm bitter that a higher political price wasn't paid.
Yeah, she's bitter that Donald Trump got reelected because people didn't buy the chicken crap that the Democratic Party was trying to feed them.
I just remember after January 6th, you had someone like Mitch McConnell placing the blame on January 6th where it belonged, squarely on Donald Trump's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then you started seeing people backtrack that.
Sonny Hostin was vacant the day they handed out brains. Can I just point this out? That's why she's on The View. The fact that people digest that any portion of that is truth is unbelievable to me.
Conditions appear to be much better on the Illinois side. Fox News' Andy Banker continues our live team coverage now from Collinsville.
Yeah, that's the intro to Fox 2 story yesterday that Carl and I both saw. Ugh. I saw it on Twitter first. I saw Andy's post on Twitter talking about the vast differences between the road conditions over in the Metro East and on this side of the river. I'm not quite sure what that is. Maybe the evil Republicans on the Missouri side don't spend as much on the road crews as the Democrats do over in Illinois.
Somebody on Facebook says that the IDOT drivers make twice as much as the MoDOT drivers.
Oh, well, obviously you would work harder if you were making twice as much. I think it's a manpower issue.
Don't they work 12-hour shifts?
Well, yeah.
Because I saw them plowing my neighborhood at 3 this morning. I woke up to them plowing.
I think it's a manpower issue is what it is. Listen to part of Andy's report here from the Illinois side of the river. Let's hold on.
Progress is stark compared to Missouri. This is Page near 170 this afternoon. Now look at the secondary highways and interstates here. IDOT covers about 5,300 lane miles of highway in 11 counties in the St. Louis region. Not as much as the Missouri side. Still, IDOT is ultra aggressive with more than 150 snowplows on the road around the clock. The goal was to have all of those lane miles all or mostly clear and draw down staffing before the brutal cold sets in tonight. That's essentially where things stand right now.
Yep. They were talking to Joe Monroe, the IDOT engineer that I interviewed many years when I was at Channel 4. He's been there for a long time at IDOT. But we used to go over and ask him about road conditions. They clearly had something figured out. I don't know what it is.
You'd think that they would have had more. I understand you have to do training to drive a snowplow. It's not like anyone can just get in it and start plowing.
Yeah.
But don't you think they would have prepared knowing, yeah, winter's coming, we're in the Midwest, this can happen, let's get more people trained?
Well,
I guess they just can't find workers like a lot of these businesses?
I guess. I mean,
is that the issue? Do they not have the funds to pay them? Like Carl said, is it a lack of interest because they're not making nearly as much as they could if they go across the river and work for IDOT?
You know, I'm looking at the traffic maps this morning, and I'm sure Sue is as well. 40 in the inner belt are the biggest mess this morning, and I'm not surprised because it's, as I drove in on 40, maybe 70 is different, maybe 44 is different, I kind of doubt it. It was down to one lane that was cleared, and then the two on either side were snowpacked. And if people are driving in that, you know that's going to affect traffic patterns. People are going to slow down, they're going to be hitting their brakes, some of them are going to slide into the median. I saw a person this morning up on top of one of the snowbanks along one of the walls down there just inside of 270.
I saw that, and I wondered if they went airborne. I'm like, how did you even get up there?
I have no idea how they went. They had to go airborne to get up on top of it.
I mean, it was how many feet high?
It was at least 6 feet high, and the snow was piled up against that wall, and there's a car sitting on top of it. I just don't know how he got up there. He must have been doing an excessive speed when he hit the snowpack. That's all I can figure. The car was sitting on top of the snow that was packed onto the right side of the road by one of those walls. I hope the driver's all right. The car didn't appear to be damaged, but all right, we'll get to a quick break here. Lots more to cover for you this morning. I'm going to get to this John Cryer bite with Bill Maher on why he thinks Trump won the election and is on the verge of being sworn back in. We'll be back. All right, I'm going to continue to give you updates through the morning on these road conditions as they come in. You've heard Sue talking about some of the problems. I knew the minute people got confident and went out. Today might be the first day back to work for a lot of folks, even though all the schools are closed. Congestion is going to be a mess. So I posted up these photos on Facebook, and I asked for people's thoughts on the difference between these three scenes and why the city roads, at least on the highway, are clean and the county roads weren't, St. Louis County particularly. And Mark wrote in here that I just drove in from Hillsboro. Highway 21 is completely clear until you get to the St. Louis County line near 141. And then it's like somebody flipped a switch. From 141 to 255, Highway 21 is still snow covered. There were two cars at that span that were off the road. I saw no plows. You would think they would focus more on that stretch with the hospital right there, which, of course, is right there south of 270 on 21. So we're getting a lot of reports that are very similar around where you come to the county line and suddenly the road is dramatically different. I don't know how to explain it, but people are seeing the same thing I saw this morning.
I would just think that the county would have its act together. And I'm disappointed not only in St. Louis County, but St. Charles County. I feel like St. Charles County is usually on top of things, and that was not the case this morning. 364 was almost completely covered.
It was a significant snowfall, and I know there was ice. But 24, how many hours we are out now from the last snowdrop, snowflake falling, there are significant differences in road surfaces, and I just can't figure out what that would be. But I'm no expert on it. All right, I mentioned this earlier. The actor from Two and a Half Men, John Cryer, who looks so different these days. The video to me, it was shocking how different. I know he's older. You know, he's a lot older than when he did the show, but he's basically bald, and he's got.
He played Lex Luthor. That's probably why.
And he's got a dark beard, which you know it would be gray because he's got to be close to my age, but he's been around that long. Carl. Play cut 14. They had John Cryer, for some odd reason, on with Bill Maher talking about the election of Donald Trump.
I think I had it right. Democrats pointlessly, totally just punted on immigration and let anybody who wanted to walk in for 3.5 years did. Like, that kind of stuff is what lost the election for the Democrats. It's in all.
Maybe part of it. I don't know. I think a lot.
They have polling on it.
I think it's inflation. I think Americans hate inflation.
That certainly was
they hate inflation, they hate riots, and they hate black women.
they
hate trans
oh,
people.
Oh, God, John, we're not
going
to.
They just spent hundreds of millions
they
of dollars
don't hate
demonizing
black
trans people. And that's disgusting.
Yeah,
that
we shouldn't talk politics.
Okay, we shouldn't.
I mean,
great. We don't have to.
No.
John Cryer, the comedian and actor, want you to believe that Kamala Harris lost, not because she was, remember we heard this with Hillary Clinton, a little different version of it, not because she was the worst possible candidate that the Democrats could have picked, like with the most baggage in Hillary's case, with the least intelligence in Kamala's case, the least ability to string two sentences together. That's not why the American people didn't choose to make her president. It's because they hate black women and trans people. I didn't know any trans people were on the ballot. Apparently there were, and I didn't know about it. But that is John Cryer's excuse. The left, you can write it down in advance and then just wait for one of them to say it, because you know it's coming each time.
And Marr told him to shut up.
Yeah, Marr said, oh, John, don't go there. Come on, come on. It's got to be racism or you know, homophobia or some. There has to be some reason why you lost other than the fact that you had a horrible candidate with a horrible message.
How painful you think it was for Kamala Harris to certify the election results?
Oh, my goodness.
I thought she did a good job. You know, she was able to actually muster out the word.
Let's listen as we get ready for the break here. Hang on.
The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris.
The smirk on Mike Johnson's face was worth the price of admission right there as he sat behind her. And she announced her name losing, and the smirk on his face was fantastic.
Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
That's where the smirk came in. The Democrats stood up and cheered her, but yeah, to have to announce her own defeat like that. Wow. Loved it. We'll be back with John Lamping.
Set to be unveiled later this month.
They're working together in a collaborative effort with all of the various different municipal agencies that are working here. When you see that in other pockets around the state, you see the same results. You see great success.
But the safe.
So that was incoming Governor Mike Kehoe, who will be sworn in on the 13th day of this month. And he's talking about a statewide crime plan and some other issues like that. He's also just filled out his cabinet, it looks like. He's named some key appointments. We've got to former Missouri Senator John Lamping on the phone, as we do each Tuesday morning. John, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark and Kim. Nice to be with you. Our road conditions out here, I don't know how the roads are in St. Charles County, because I can't get off of my farm. My driveway is about two-thirds of a mile, and it's hilly, and we can't get up and down. So I've got a daughter who's traveling tomorrow. We're going to have to walk her up to the main roads, about a mile walk, and have my son take her to the airport.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You need to get Joe Brazel out there with his snowplow to clear it for you.
That's right.
We'll get him on that for you. Yeah, it's a mess. I mean, parts of the highway are okay in St. Charles County, but a lot of the side roads are absolutely still a mess. Well, listen, you know, you heard Kehoe there. Obviously, this week he just announced the appointment of several people who are going to serve on his staff there at the governor's office. What's your take on him? John, you've looked at the list, haven't you?
Yeah, sure, of course. So, the interesting thing, when you first go to Jefferson City, if you've not been there before for any long period of time, you come to understand that there's a perspective of the state that's very, very different than the perspective of the state from St. Louis County, St. Charles County, Jefferson County, from this side of the state. It's you know, Columbia and Jefferson City is the television market. It's mid-Missouri. It's about 400,000 people. They have all the local affiliates there. They have the journalism school there. But there, so there's a perspective that's very specific to mid-Missouri that's unlike the perspective of I spent 10 years in and out of Kansas City and then grew up here. And Mike Kehoe is a creature of that market. Mike, 40 years ago, moved his family, started his family in Jefferson City as a car dealer, a very successful car dealer. And in Jefferson City, the number one business is state government. And so coming in as governor, I mean, when we look to the cabinet appointments that Mike was making, I expected it to be very Jefferson City, mid-Missouri centric, but it couldn't be more so. I think there's 11 big cabinet positions, and almost half of them are just carryovers from the Parson administration. So these are all people that have been in and around Jefferson City for a long time. And the rest of his cabinet are all Jefferson City insiders, long-timers. Kurt Schaefer, who ran against Bob Onder this time around, ran for attorney general years ago and has been a lobbyist. He was appointed to a cabinet position. So it's very and most of these people have been either in the Parson administration or in even the Blunt administration. And it's very unusual for a governor to have it be so capital city centric. when you become governor, you have the opportunity to hire from all across the country.
Yeah.
When Greitens was governor, he interviewed people from all across the country, brought in people with different ideas. So this is going to be all very specific to Jefferson City.
Yeah, all people who, I don't know, would you call it part of the swamp or part of the, I mean, just part of the establishment?
It's part of, when I say mid-Missouri, that's the swamp, that's the establishment, it's just a way of doing business that has been established over generations, and there's nobody there that's a change agent. Mike's not a change agent. If anything, what people are trying to do is influence his opinions to include things such as eliminating the income tax that aren't necessarily the first thing he'd want to do, and he might make the case that he'll be able to hit the ground running, which is true. He's not bringing in new people. And that in order to get big things done, he needs to corral all the people in the swamp, and he needs to have people that know how the whole system works. And so that remains to be seen. We're going to be watching him very closely and hopeful that he, I guess January 28th is the state of the state. Hopefully he makes a top priority some of these big changes. But there are some, I think, that would look at this and say it's unfortunate that he didn't bring in at least somebody from some other part of the country whose perspective might be different than this tiny little mid-Missouri market perspective.
I know one of the first things on the agenda when lawmakers go back tomorrow will be picking a Speaker of the House. You know, just over 24 hours out, what kind of a chance do you think Justin Sparks has at this point?
Very slim odds. The process of selecting a Speaker is one that the lobbyists take very seriously, and it begins the minute a freshman class comes on board. And, you know, so it's not just the fact that a speaker may have a good personality or not. It's a lot to overcome what the lobbyists want done. I mean, someone like Tim Jones might have been the exception to the rule, and that Tim was more of an ideologically based person that lobbyists didn't necessarily like him. But I think it might be a little bit too late for someone to upset the plans of lobbyists that are, you know, 6 years in the making.
So what do you know about John Patterson?
Well, I know all about his I actually had a conversation with Tim Jones specifically about him not so long ago. And I know all about how he ascended to the office. I know his voting record is horrible. He votes as a moderate. And it's one of these things where we're hopeful that we can just kind of survive his 2 years in office. That's the good thing. You know, he started his career very strong and was someone who was easily attracted admirers at first. But then as time went on, how he voted was an issue. And it's just one of those things where with personality and with the help, what happens is the lobbyists lobby the other lawmakers on behalf of candidates.
Wow.
And that successfully happened with him. And you know, it would be really fun and exciting to see him not ascend to the office. But, you know, my gut tells me that this is kind of a fait accompli.
Mm-hmm. You think they'll pass a joint resolution to put some A3 version back on the ballot that might correct Amendment 3?
We'll see. I think that it really is a function of just how soon can you get back on the ballot. And,
yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because I hear a lot of people advocating for changes to, you know, the IP process. And, you know, I remind them that, you know, if we're going to ever overturn Amendment 3, we're going to get above 55 or 60 is going to be very difficult. We kind of need the 50+1 to get back. But, you know, it remains to be seen what the supporters of the pro-life supporters and all the money that will have to be raised, if they, where they want to go. They're the ones that have to pay for the effort. Of course, we'd love to do everything we can to change it. I've shared with you many times, I think that the issue is simply, it's going to be baby steps, but the first step should be a ballot initiative that defines an unborn child as a person. And I think there's a bill or two. I think Mike Moon has a bill like that. There's a few bills like that down there, but I think it remains unclear as to exactly what idea we're going to coalesce around. The other thing too, I remind you, is it's a 2 year. It won't be voted on for 2 years, and so it's actually in the best interest of our side to wait to the very end of next session, because then the opponents won't know exactly what they're fighting against.
Yep, it's good, good advice. All right, John, good luck getting out of your driveway today.
Yeah, and good luck getting down to Jefferson City. That'll be quite the tale you guys have to tell. Who knows how those roads? Well, maybe it's just all Sam Page. Maybe it's just once you get out of San Luis County, it'd be a clean shot.
It very well could be. That could be the problem. We'll talk soon, John. Thanks.
Take care.
Yep, I appreciate that. Yeah, that should be interesting, Carl. Carl is leaving soon after the show ends this morning.
Because I have to go to the Capitol to test our signal.
Yes.
Hopefully you get a nap in once you drive to Jefferson City.
That's the plan.
I'll get down there a little later, just in time for happy hour. Right, Carl?
After I wake up, you guys, you and I will go to that place that we found last year.
We hope.
Which is what? Is it like a hole in the wall?
It is a... It's a restaurant that has their own bourbon.
Yes.
Well, and it was fine last year.
I can't remember the name of it. It's within
it's
sight
by
of the
hotel that we're not staying.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to drive over there, Uber over maybe, for
ooh,
sure. All right.
Idea.
But we'll be live there tomorrow with the show from Jeff City with it's always beautiful down. It's always cold. Carl reminded me we'll be right there in the middle of the Capitol building on the second floor in the rotunda. And I mean, for obvious reasons, heating that area is difficult at best, and that building is old.
And it's the first day, so they haven't had the heat on since, you know, November.
And it's going to be 6, so it'll be a bit chilly. My guess is in the morning, we're going to have to bundle up in the morning, Carl, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have to wear the wool jacket tomorrow. All right, quick break. Coming back with In Other News. Stay tuned.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
So as we know, Post Malone was at the halftime show for Christmas with Beyonce, right? So he was down in Houston. So on Christmas Eve, he decided he was going to belly up to a bar and hang out for a little while. And after he drank his fill, he got his tab, paid it, and he tipped the bartender $20,000.
What?
I was not expecting you to go there with that story.
Well,
I know. With
unlike
all
the guy that he sings with.
Yeah, throwing chairs and stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so apparently the bartender's name was Renee Brown. She's a single mother. She had to work on Christmas Eve because apparently her and her 9-year-old daughter had lost everything in August. So it was kind of a cool thing he did. He showed up, had a good talk with her, and gave her $20,000.
So apparently. He determined nice. That through speaking with her. She spilled her guts to him.
I'm
that
sure.
She was down
well,
on her
Post
luck.
Post Malone's
and...
pretty recognizable.
Yeah.
He's got the tattoos on his
all
face.
Over his face.
I'm just saying, you think she's like, hey, if I tell him my story, maybe.
I bet it was better than that. I bet he was just talking to her, and he said, what are you doing here on Christmas Eve? And she said, oh, well, here's the deal. So this is how I'm making it better in my head. But
maybe
I think that's sweet.
Could have just given her some advice, like if you just had more tattoos on your face, life would be better.
Yes, that's
well,
the takeaway.
No,
thank
I'm just
you
saying.
For ruining that story.
Thank you, Post Malone, for doing
he
that.
He can sing.
How's the guy's back? Didn't he fall into a hole when he was
here
performing?
Yeah,
here
he did.
In St. Louis? Yeah, I thought
like
so.
Like a lot of stars.
He was the
falling
first,
into holes on
he was
stages.
The first one, though.
Did he was the first. He like broke a rib when he did
I think
yes,
he did.
I thought he
yes.
got back up and performed the
he
rest
did.
Of the show.
He did finish the show.
Yeah, that's impressive.
With the broken rib.
See, look, he's one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Until next week when we find out he's not. Zendaya and Tom Holland are engaged, as confirmed by TMZ. They are the first to report it. They reported that Holland proposed over the holidays at one of Zendaya's family homes. Sources say Holland had been eager to propose for a while, knowing that she was the one. The couple shared the news with friends around New York, but plan to take their time before actually getting married, focusing on their busy work.
Carl, did you hear the Nikki Glaser joke to Zendaya during the Golden Globes?
Possibly.
She kind of nailed that when she goes, Zendaya, you were so good in Dune, I woke up. Only when you were on screen.
It was pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she wore the ring on the red carpet, so they're not really keeping it that secret.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I thought she was a singer.
She is a singer.
She was at one point.
So she acts now, too.
She's a triple threat.
The greatest showman. She did a beautiful job in that.
Her first show was a Disney show where she sang.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But go ahead.
So I wasn't wrong, kind of.
No.
You're right.
No, you're right.
Good segue, Carl. Speaking of Disney, they and Fubo, I'm going to say Fubo, I apologize. Fubo TV announced plans to merge their live TV streaming businesses, combining Hulu Plus Live TV and Fubo TV. This deal is approved, if approved, would create the second largest digital TV service with over 6 million subscribers, majority owned by Disney. If also clears, this will clear the way for Disney, ESPN, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Fox to launch their Venue Sports, which is a delayed $43 per month streaming service featuring major live sporting leagues.
My grandson just wants to know when Mufasa is going to be available on his TV now that he's seen it in the theater. He keeps asking his mom, when can we watch that at TV?
Well, show him some better movies.
They're not making any money on it in the theater.
Probably soon then.
Yeah.
Meta Platforms has appointed UFC CEO Dana White, former Microsoft executive Charlie Songhurst, and European investor John Elkann to its board, expanding it to 13 members. CEO Mark Zuckerberg praised the new directors for their expertise in AI wearables, I guess fashion.
And fighting?
And human connection. I guess that's Dana White's.
Okay.
White is a vocal supporter of Donald Trump, and he joins as Meta strengthens its ties to the incoming Trump administration, or they're trying to
grease the skids there. Aren't
there
they?
You go.
No doubt about it.
This one, sorry about this if you're eating. The New World Screw Worm, which is called NWS, it's a flesh-eating parasite. It's been eradicated from the U.S. in the 60s. It's been detected again in southern Mexico, raising fears of its return. It was found in a cow near the Guatemala border, and it's spreading through its larvae, which burrow into wounds, feeding on living tissue and causing severe damage or death to livestock, wildlife, pets, and humans. Now, the cases have surged from 25 to over 6,500 in 2023, spreading to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, and now Mexico. And U.S. officials are urging vigilance along the southern Texas border. We know how that's going
to
go.
What are you supposed to how are you supposed to be vigilant about
that? Can they get here in 13
days?
I guess seeing if people have
giant
open
wounds. If I go to Mexico, what should I do?
How many cows are crossing the border?
Lots of cows, Carl.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
We have a catch and release program, Carl, for cows.
They can live a better life over here.
I see lots of migrants crossing the border. I don't see any cows.
Well, hopefully they don't have it either.
Thanks,
I think that's
Joe
what
Biden.
They're saying.
But we don't test them, so how would we know?
They're moving on up.
13 days.
Nailed it.
No.
That was funny. Thank you.
13 days, and then we won't have to worry about that anymore. We're shutting that border down, baby. From those infected cows, for sure. All right, coming up, Todd Pyro is back, host of a Fox and Friends First. He's been off for a few weeks. Well, he's been working full-time at Fox and didn't have enough time for us. So we'll get to him at about 7:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.